This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
I'm Elena. I'm 24 years old. I work and live in Philadelphia right now, but I grew up in Michigan, and I have struggled with pulling my hair, skin picking, nail biting for a very long time. I got the diagnosis for TRIT when I was 16, after I think I It was a very stressful time in my life, and I just pulled out heaps and heaps of hair. And my mom, of course, it's always like a very interesting relationship between BFRBs and your mother. So she took me to the doctor, and that was when I first heard about this whole world. I think these things are so deeply related to stress and overwhelm. And I've had phases of being bald in spots and then being like having like beautiful, long, fully uniform hair other times. And it's like I can measure my happiness or how much I'm dealing with stress at that point in my life by how full my hair is, which is always like very interesting.
Which one of your BFRBs came first?
That's a good question. I think honestly, like, it's really hard to say because they cohabitate. Like, I'll pull out my hair and then I'm like, wow, that's bad. That stresses me out that I did that. I'm gonna bite my nails now. And it's like, no, that's not how that should work. I think it was definitely the nail biting. Nail biting started, and then that was really bad. And I remember doing it in first grade. And I had switched schools, and I was behind in all of my academics because I was just slow to pick things up. And I went to a school where there's all these really smart kids. And if you were cool, you were smart, but that just wasn't me. So I got very nervous from that. Then moved on to pulling a lot when I went through puberty, and I got like huge, sorry, I got, I developed early, and that was also very stressful. So it was just like a direct response to like how I was feeling about my body and how my body was changing. And that has been with me since like probably like fifth grade, but was light. It was light. It's not as heavy as it was when I was like a teenager or now in my early adulthood.
And when did you find out the name for trichotillomania?
When I was at the doctor's office, when my mom took me to the doctor's office when I was 16, and I think she was a bit more concerned with it than I was. And it was just like a lot of fights, a lot of like, why are you doing this? And I don't know kind of deals. So I moved, we went to the doctor's office, and that's when I first heard it. I had a woman doctor, which I always remember her because she had like really full long hair. And I remember being like, she's telling me I have this weird, not weird thing, but I have this thing, and she has the opposite of it. Like her, it's just so full and gorgeous. And after that, I kind of went, the word trichotillomania went to the back of my head, and I didn't start thinking about it till again in college. And a little bit now afterwards, when I was like, well, maybe this is like something that I want to learn how to manage. Maybe this is something that like does cause me undue stress. And that's when I started like really kind of pouring in a lot of research into it. Like, not a lot of research, like Google links here and there, but like attending groups and talking about it with other people kind of from there. But it's always been like, it's always been there. It's just had different phases of how much I interact with it than not.
You mentioned that you had periods in your life where you would have bald spots. Tell us more about that if you'd like to. You know, maybe if there was something that you remember going on at the time, and if you ever had friends or family members who were able to maybe support you.
I had my first bald spot right about the time before my mom took me to that doctor at 16 years old. When I was 16, I was way above my other classmates and like what my body looked like. Not saying like I had a stellar bod, but like I was just pretty developed. And that was pretty scary and frustrating. But at that time, I had like a lot of family problems. I had problems with how I viewed my body, and I also got into a bad relationship, which is so true for so many young girls, and it's very sad. So that's when it ramped up into kind of what it is today. And I remember it was at the top of my head, which re remains to be like a hot spot for me. And it was about the size of maybe like an avocado pit at the top of my head. And I would take barrettes and I would push my bangs really, really far back and clip a barrette right on top of that spot because I thought it would hide it. And then I had, yeah, and it was frustrating because that never, when it, the phase was long when I had the bald spot because I would get stressed about having the bald spot and then pull my hair out more. It was just like this cyclical effect, and it didn't really go away till I was able to like get out of the bad relationship, move out of my hometown, and start to like really like come to terms with what my body looks like.
Do you have a ritual when it comes to your hair pulling? Like, are you searching for a specific hair? What do you do with the hair after it's pulled? Things like that.
Yeah, I think about this a lot because when we go to BFRB groups or stuff like that, we talk a lot about like how to manage it, but not like really like specifically aftercare. And if you have any ideas about like what to do like after you have like I don't want to say episode, but like after you like have pulled a lot of hair out, what I do is like it's always my left hand, it's always like specific textured hairs, and usually at the top of my head, around the crown, or my bangs. I also will do body hair. Sometimes that's like me alone. After the hair has been out, I like to rub my fingers on it, kind of like you're threading a needle almost, and you're feeling the string. So I'm like feeling it and touching it. I'll put it in my mouth. After that, I usually like, unless it's like a really fine texture, I like to keep it around. Otherwise, I usually discard and move to the next one. When I pull, this is a lot of information. I'm usually like have a specific goal in mind, and that's usually to pull the one with the biggest follicle. It can take a while. I think that was a more achievable goal when I wasn't ripping out my hair all the time. Not, oh God, not ripping out my hair, but like pulling out my hair a lot of the time. But I feel like now that this is something that like my scalp has gotten used to, there is like less of those around just because they expect to. I don't know. I'm not a dermatologist, but that's kind of how I view it. Afterwards, after I pull quite a bit, I try to like be nice to myself. I'm like, you know what? That's okay. Hair, like, it either grows back or it doesn't, but that doesn't mean anything about your self-worth. I sometimes will like take a cold shower. It can get like hot on my head. after a while. So I like take a cold shower, cool down. I've never like I wonder if like lotion afterwards, like if you exfoliate, you put on lotion. So I'm wondering like should I put lotion at the top of my head? Will that calm the effects? But I don't really know because we don't really talk about what to do after. It's just you're sitting with a lot of shame.
Yeah, it's really tough. It's like you feel almost like you're out of body. Like it's like what do they say? What does Dexter say? Like he like talks about like his lizard brain. I don't know if you ever watched that show, but like it's like a whole different brain that takes over, and then when you snap out of it, it's like, "Oh my gosh, what can I do?" And some of the things that I've done is similar to you. Things that are cold, right? Cold shower, cold water on my face. Things that are gonna snap me back into like I would say the non-trichotillomania person, where I'm not in that trance-like state. And like you said, that self-kindness, it's all you can do. But every time it happens, it's different. So it's what is going to help. And yeah, it is just tough. It's a learning experience every time, and things will change.
I remember like one of the first times I had a big trance was I was failing my science class sophomore year, and I was like never really good at school, but people around me were. So I always felt like super imposter syndrome. And I was sitting in class, sitting across from this boy, and I'm like, he's gonna bully me. Like, I know he's going to bully me if I can't get these answers right. So I didn't even try. And I just sat there and just one by one picked out like certain pieces of hair. And as I stood up, the entire chair was covered. And that was kind of like the first time I felt like, this is a little embarrassing. This is shameful. I have to hide this. Like, everybody had just, no one watched me, but like, or probably even noticed what I was doing. But I was like, this is something that I have to hide about myself.
Well, I think too, it's hard because I don't know how I think I that we had a similar kind of upbringing where it's like your parents are trying their best, but some of those things that they're doing are actually like really harmful and like, oh, hey, just stop doing that. And, do you want people to look at you differently because you have no eyelashes? Like stuff like this where it's almost like kind of trying to shame out the disorder. And so like if that's what we're experiencing, then like our self-talk is going to reflect that. Like we're going to be nasty to ourselves because it's like, well, if I'm meaner, maybe that'll keep me from pulling.
Yeah, and that's never exactly what helps. It's stress related. It's a stress related like condition, and you're just adding more stress to it. Sick, like then it gets more and more cyclical. So
When your regrowth comes back in for your scalp, is it a different texture or color?
yes, it is like spiky. And when the regrowth comes back in, I like to t take the palm of my hand and like tap it and like feel like the spikes kind of like touch the palm of my hand. It sticks obviously straight up and down, so I look like Alfalfa from the Little Rascals, where it's got like a little hair sticking straight up. And I don't do anything like I hairspray and hair gel is such a complex relationship. I did a lot of like dance and stuff like that when I was a kid and like as a teenager. So it was like always a lot of hairspray all the time, and that made it worse. So I try to like stay away from it as an adult. So I don't do anything to slick it back. Now I have a lot of regrowth. I've started wearing a wig, and I'm grateful for it. It's very overwhelming, but it like was the necessary option to do. Now that I have the physical barrier, I can't like pull out my head hair anymore. There will be other areas on my body, or I'll bite my nails still, but I can't pull out my hair right now. And I'm like, I don't know. It was such a commitment, so hard, but every time I like see it come the wig come off and I see the regrowth there, I'm like, it's been this long before, but it's guaranteed it will get longer because there's a barrier.
Walk us through your decision to get a wig. Like, how did you find it? What did you decide for color and style?
I'm really lucky. So when I was moving to the East Coast from the Midwest, first thing I did was like Google like women's hair loss salons, because I was like, maybe like I'll get extensions or something and figure out what is the best move for me. And there was specifically a salon that dealt with trichotillomania and alopecia, and they had a special kind of hair barrier. It almost works like it's a toupee, and it like is attached to my head, and I have like my real natural hair, and then it's like just sitting on top of my head where I pull the most. I decided for the first year not to for a whole year I decided not to do it. It's a lot of money, and I had to save up a long time for this to be even a possibility. I think I was sitting on the couch one day after like a trance, and I had just like pulled out so much hair, and I was like, this is a lot. So I moved the couch, and there are like dust bunnies of hair everywhere. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I've been sweeping this under the rug and have been dealing with my stress in only this way, and I can't ignore it anymore. So I had decided to go into the salon and revisit the whole process again. I'm a natural brunette, but I got it blonde because I've always wanted to be blonde. I like again, like with mothers and their daughter's hair, I was never able to dye my hair because my mom always thought it was going to fall out. So I got a blonde wig, and they dyed my underneath hair blonde to match. And I feel a bit like Barbie now, which is like never a feeling I've ever had, and like maybe a good one. But with the new salon, that's specifically like, this is a very lucky and privileged thing that I was able to do.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
And I wish there are so many places. There's so many places. Every barbershop has like a guy working with it that's bald, and he knows like how to give you the best like beard taper. But there's not a lot of places for women. And if they are, they're like private and secluded, and like no one has to know you're even here. And it's just like, this is a reality that so many people face. And guys, like men, like can go just around the corner, but we have to like be in a very different, I don't know. I'm glad that these places exist, but I'm glad that they have services, but there might just need to be like advocacy done to make like this more normalized.
And is your wig, it kind of sounds like, do they call it a CNC system? Like it attaches and then every few months they like reattach, like, because your hair will grow, it like loosens. Is that what that is?
Yeah, I go in every 6 weeks.
For somebody that's listening that maybe knows someone with trichotillomania, how would you describe what it feels like to be in that trich trance?
I think there's like automatic, like you don't know what you're doing. And then there's like intentional, like I know what I'm doing. With automatic, like that's me sitting in front of the TV, and I'm getting like stressed out by something that's going on the TV. And so like I don't even feel my hand go up, and I don't even feel like the hairs until I like snap out of it. And that could be anywhere from like 20 minutes to like 45 minutes. And it's just an instinct. Like I don't sometimes I can feel if the blood starts coming down out of my left hand, I'm like, oh, it's been up there for a while. But that would be like my automatic response. And then my like instinct, not instinctual, but like my intentional response is like, I'm stressed out about this one thing, and I know I'm doing this to calm myself down, if that makes sense.
Have you found ways to maybe snap yourself out of it? I know once we're in it, it's so hard to get out of it, but if you notice that like you're leaning towards coming into this trance, like are there things that you've done like to get up and shake your body really quick that maybe will snap you out of it before we're really in
Honestly, shaking your body really quick.
it?
That is such a good example, and that's exactly what happens. Sometimes I'll like switch up what I'm doing. Like, I love to read, but reading was so hard for me for a long time because I would just sit there and pull out my hair. So I switched to audiobooks. Wow, man, getting out of a trance is so hard. It is so hard.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I wish someone would like spray me with a spray bottle. It's, you know, some ice water or something, because it really does feel like you can't get out. And you kind of, your brain is kind of telling you, like, you don't want to do this. Like, maybe we should
Yeah.
get up. Maybe we should, but you're like cemented there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't even like people. Like, I've had my mom did that, and it was like, Elena, stop it. And it like that just reinforced this shame of it all. And then I had friends do it, and they're like, stop, Elena. And the only thing that can I know when I'm coming out of a trance, or I'm like, ooh, I'm like, I know that I'm in a trance, and I know I'm gonna probably go longer. So something I do is like get like very tight skull cap beanies, and I'll wear those. Like, I wear those probably 9 months out of the year to have like a barrier there. Or I like, or honestly, like address what is really stressing me out. Like, it's never, it's the hair, like the BFRB is a response, not the symptom. Is a symptom, but not the, I don't know. But like, if you kind of get down to those root causes, it's like I put my hands down. I'm like, okay, what is really stressing you out? And like, journal it, talk about it with a friend. Like, that stuff that can get you out of a trance and can usually bring me down pretty good.
You mentioned attending BFRB support groups. Tell us how you found them and what it was like attending.
I think I attended a couple. I would say I found them through Instagram, which was good. Like, there's a whole like, I don't know why it took me so long, but there's a platform for it. There are a lot of people who, have the same things going on. I liked it. I felt kind of oddball out because I feel like I was very extroverted, and I very much like put myself out there, and I felt like everyone was a little bit more closed off, like because I'm not shy, and I've like, even when I had bald spots, I wasn't shy. It was just like, here's Elena, she's got patchy hair, and that's what you're gonna get. So it was like a little bit different for me.
What led you to want to attend the support groups? Like, did you? I know you said you're extroverted, and so you've just kind of been open, it sounds like, your whole life. Was there a moment where you decided to maybe be even more open and want to find that community?
I think curiosity really just got the best of me. I was like, who else could be struggling with this? And like, I think it could be, it's a very isolating issue because there's a lot of shame around it, so people don't talk about it. But having like that set dedicated spot felt very open. I was also at the time like kind of proud of how I was managing it. It quickly like flew off the handle after I had attended a couple meetings, but like, at the time, I was really proud, and I was like, I can put my, like, I can talk about this. I can put it forward.
So tell me more, if you don't mind, about the flying off the handle after attending the meetings. What do you have any idea maybe why that happened? Or, you know, sometimes it can be random.
Yeah, this one, I think it's so hard to be in your early 20s, which I am right now. I was really miserable, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, and I was in a job I hated and I didn't have any friends and it was so sad. And I think it kind of came to a head for me with all of that. And I had started having like longer trances and led to bigger bald spots. It led to me like picking at my skin a lot more, which I can always tell is like, oh, if you're picking at your skin, like now is a good time to like reassess what is going on, really. And my hair was like pretty bare. My head was pretty bare. And I wore a lot of skull caps and baseball caps for the whole, till I kind of like changed my situation. I think it was always like, here's an environmental stressor. How do you change your situation? Which is like super frustrating because that's just not an option all the time. But that's what made me fly off the handle. And I stopped going to group because I felt ashamed. Like I didn't have a good handle on it and I didn't know how to get it back.
How would you describe your relationship with your BFRBs now versus when you were little?
Oh, yeah. I think there's a deeper understanding of where they come from now than when I was little. So that I don't want to say like, oh, it's better, oh, it's worse, because it changes, but there's a deeper understanding of why, and that helps really push forward, like going out of my comfort zones to talk to my friends about it, or going out of my comfort zones to like try a wig, or like be open to like new ideas.
Do you believe social media has had a positive or negative impact on your BFRB?
On the daily, I would say negative. And on the positive, I would, and on the like the long term is the positive, because you can find groups and you can find people who are openly sharing like, this is what this looks like for me, and I'm not like ashamed about it, or like I know how you're feeling. But on the day to day, when I'm looking at social media to see my friends and there's like beautiful bikini picture and like not a single hair out of place and there's no flaws, and it's just like, oh my God, that's not me. Just like anything, there's like so much comparison that happens in my brain on social media that is just like, well, how can I get like that? And then my brain stops me. It's like, you can never get like that because you have a BFRB. And it's A, not true, but is what happens in my brain. And that leads to like more pulling, more picking out my skin than not.
What advice would you give somebody who wants to be more open about their BFRB? Maybe they want to attend a support group.
I would start with the kindness to yourself, like we talked about earlier. I don't know what the opposite of, maybe like the opposite of shame is pride, and you can be proud of who you are, and you can show up regardless of how your hair looks or how your skin looks, because these people are going to deeply understand the why. I'd also tell them community is great, and like we feel stronger together than we feel apart. And togetherness has always, like, when I have felt my best and have pulled the least in my life, it has been because of a feeling of togetherness and unity, and I'm not alone in whatever I'm dealing with. And that is at a support group.